Folks, our guest now. You ready, Jim?
I'm ready.
Okay. She's been on Curb Your Enthusiasm, 6 feet Under. She was a series regular on Mad TV. Melissa Paul is sitting there all nicotined up.
Oh, come on.
No, I appreciate it, man.
You do?
I do. I used to smoke. You can't smoke a pack and a half, 2 packs a day.
Yeah, I'm back to 2 packs a day.
It's horrifying, isn't it?
I love it, though. I hate it, and I love it.
Do you ever wake up with this?
I wake up like
yeah, and you're like, I know what needs to happen. Now I need to burn through that mucus.
And then something, you pull up something serious in the morning, and you feel like you're going to be okay for the day.
Is that busy? You actually feel like you've been creative. It's like, look what I made.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, we're cool. Let's smoke again.
You know what's sad about me is, and I hate to admit this, because when I was working in New York and I was doing the morning show, I quit smoking like 5 years ago, and I decided that I had no life and I didn't know what to do with myself. I was living with those two wild animals, or three or four at one time, actually, and I just started to smoke a cigar, you know, just to, you know, and I'm not a cigar snob.
For the taste, right?
No, just for the buzz. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I don't want to start smoking cigarettes again, but I'll smoke a cigar and just get loaded mm-hmm. with nicotine, and it's nuts, and now I'm hooked on those stinky things.
Yeah, they're awful and they're, stinky, but it gives you something to do with your hands when you're quitting, that's why.
But there's no way you can pull off a cigar as being cool. There's just not, because people just look at you and like, look at that ass. Why is he doing, you know?
No, I mean, you look like a schmuck, and if you hold it the right way, you look like more of an idiot. Yeah, I quit for 2 years, and then I went to Greece for the summer.
Oh, that'll
where
do it.
Cancer, like, apparently doesn't exist. People
yeah.
tan and eat whatever and smoke nonstop. And I was like, me too. I don't get cancer either.
You
and
have
I'm
to
back
smoke.
Here, like, my doctor's like, there's a lump on your throat. I'm like, no, something's not wrong.
Come on.
No.
You got a lump on your throat?
Nah, man,
good for you. Look what you're making.
Cyst, tumor,
look what you're making.
All the same. I'm creating.
I'm creating polyps. I've got polyps. That's the funniest line in Ironweed when Tom Waits goes, Doc said I got cancer. I ain't never had nothing before. Genius. what a weird.
One of the first impressions I've heard you do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, who can't do Waits? You can do Waits music real easy. All you need is like a fork, a pan, and a bass, and just like, just clomp, and then you go,
and a shoe full of Darvocet.
Perfect. So let's dish, shall we?
On me?
I don't know.
No,
yeah, I want to hear some dirt. I want to hear some exciting things. Here, how about Curb Your Enthusiasm? Like, I just got, you know, HBO sent me the box set for being involved in something they did over there with the Left of the Dial thing.
Uh-huh.
And it took me a while to like Curb Your Enthusiasm, because
right.
I just found him irritating.
Right.
But now I like it, and you worked on it. How many episodes did you do?
One.
What did you play
it's
on
funny,
it? Which one was it?
How press people. The lesbian in the big lesbian episode.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's funny because they cast me without seeing me, you know, like
yeah.
just off reputation, which
yeah.
is rare, and I love it and whatever.
Yeah.
And I get there, and everyone was like, she doesn't really look like a lesbian at all.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, usually I come off. Unfortunately, you radio listeners can't tell how.
She's cute and she's not fat? What does that mean?
Cute and not fat, but like surly and opinionated equals lesbian normally, so.
I don't understand. I've never been able to. I mean, it seems to me that classification of what a lesbian looks like is a stereotype.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. the Hollywood lesbian is an anomaly, so.
What is it? So now, okay, so you're working with Larry David.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I might get in trouble if I go into
talking
about
no one's
about
listening
how,
but the people that are up all night in New York. Come on,
well,
give it up.
Not particularly friendly. And at one point, you know, he leaned over and said, you know, I think so-and-so really missed it on casting this year for me to hear it.
Really?
And then I had to go on and do a scene, and I was like, huh, would you guys like anything else? Terrified.
Isn't that surprising to you, Jim, that Larry David would be an ass? I mean, isn't that surprising? You would never know that from his character that he plays himself.
It's not surprising at all.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're even saying that.
So now, but was that the only, was he rude in other ways? I mean,
no, he was fine. He's just, it's like his show, it's his business. He's kind of like Woody Allen in the way he runs the set. Like, people know that if they F up, they're going to be fired on the spot. You know what I mean?
He fires people on the spot?
Yeah, he does the Woody Allen thing, like, get someone else in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And just detaches completely and treats you like dirt?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, yeah. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a clever show. We needed more Seinfeld. Like, happy to watch it. No problem.
Yeah, it's weird, though. It's as people get to like people, I hate hearing people that are really that way, that are real asses.
He's hugely
like that.
Rich and powerful. Why does he have to be that way?
No, I know, but it's like I understand the integrity of the show or whatever, but there's a way to diplomatically deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, you should bring someone else in to be rude.
Mm-hmm.
Am
well,
I right?
If I were rich and powerful, I'd try to go for being an ass. I think that would be...
That's another question we were going to talk about, because we're talking about Randy Duke Cunningham. This guy just took the hit today, and it was beautiful. You know, he's going down. They gave him no leniency. He's doing 8.5 out of 10 years for being a bribe-taken ass, and he deserves it. And I hope it just is a domino effect with all of the people in the Republicans in Congress. And I get... It's weird how thrilling schadenfreude can be. And I feel that sometimes in our business, too. And I'm not particularly bitter, but certainly in some respects... I could have seen myself being somewhere else and than where I am in my career at times, although I'm happy with where I am. Mm-hmm. But don't you just love seeing people fail?
No, yeah, it's great. I'm that person that's like, oh, really? That happened? Oh, wow. Oh, that's wonderful.
That's,
great.
That's too bad, Reed. Great.
Great.
So I feel so,
so
much
you're
better.
You're really unhappy? That's terrific for me.
Oh, that's too bad that you're unhappy. I hate that feeling, too, when you talk to somebody and they're like, dude, I'm really in a bad place. And you're like, really? What happened? And parties like, going, yes, yeah. Finally.
In your pocket, you have a memory of something much, much worse. And you're like, oh, really? You stubbed your toe? That's fine because I don't have an arm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think also it's a little misery loves company. You know,
absolutely.
I think that I'm knowing a lot. I've got to watch that. And it's weird that you get into these verbal habits that you don't realize you have until you hear yourself on radio. You've said
misery loves company a lot?
No, I say a lot. And I just draw attention to it. So now that everybody's listening, it's like, wow, he does say it a lot. See, how he sabotaged me?
The bloggers, you know it. They'll
so, Melissa, what are you going to do now? Where are you going? What's happening?
Oh, it's really great. Now that I've completely run out of money, I've decided to put up a play on my own.
Uh-huh.
And in a 50-seat theater, I apparently have to pay royalties.
What's the name of the play?
The White Liars.
When's it opening?
March 9th.
There you go. White Liars, March 9th. Yeah. Melissa Paul.
50-seat theater, have to pay royalties. How depressing.
But people are going to come see your play because we have a lot of listeners that like that. Yeah. We are coming back with more movie reviews. Melissa Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And we have Patton Oswalt. So hang out. It's AM 1150, and we got Bush's radio address as well.
Now, back to a man worn down by the rigors of work and the burdens of responsibility, Mark Maron.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Jim Earl. Thank you, everybody. 6 past the hour. It is Progressive Talk, AM 1150. I am Mark Maron. It is markmaron.com, MarcMaron. There is a very active blog party going on, pointing out that on some level, I say on some level a lot, thank you very much. That's all I need is to feel more insecure about my particular strange speech patterns. I appreciate it. I'm kidding. I don't care. Melissa Paul is still with us. It seemed we played this trick on you before we went on break that she was going to leave, and she didn't leave. And it's awkward because, we're like, all right, thanks, Melissa. But she was like, I'm not done.
I had a lot of material to work out. How unfortunate.
But we do want to talk about the play. Because you set it up in sort of a negative way, and I don't want people to think that you're not excited.
No, I'm super excited. I started a company called Playhouse Worst, and it's basically what everything acting should be in L.A. that it isn't. So we're making fun of all the theater companies, Playhouse Worst and whatever, but we actually do serious takes on plays, and it's not exhausting actors, yelling lines in your face. It's good.
You're a real actress?
Yeah. It's a drama.
But you were trained as an actress? Because you're saying that it's what acting should be in L.A.
Yeah.
And so you have a background in that? Like, you're a professionally trained person?
Yeah, but, you keep it under the radar. I don't, get business cards with my picture on them and hand them out to people, but...
But because most acting, certainly in acting classes, is training people to make an impression on a 2-minute audition with crappy material.
That and how to sleep with your scene partner, yeah.
What? That always happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's always the first rule. Whatever you do, do not sleep with anyone in class. And you look around the room like, that guy's going to get it.
Yeah, it kind of kills those comedy scenes, too.
Yeah.
You're an ass. That's not the line. That's not funny. Why are you crying? Why are you crying now?
Why are you
now?
Crying? I left a note.
And the acting teacher's out of the loop. She's like, it's good. Just
it's
let
good.
It out.
Just go with the feelings you're having. Yeah, all this exhausting stuff is what the play's not. That's why I want you guys to come.
What's it called? Is it a play you wrote or it's not?
No, it's a play by Peter Schaefer, who is expecting royalties. So basically every time we say his name, we toss 25 cents into a jar and ship it over to Finland or wherever the hell he lives.
He's a famous guy. He's written
Amadeus.
Uh-huh. Those were very popular plays. Hilarious, both of them.
Yeah,
very funny.
No, this is not funny at all.
Oh man, Equus. When I saw Equus, I was like, the horse is hilarious.
The fork.
It's terrific.
Yeah, it's funny.
Maybe I misunderstood. I was the only guy laughing, but I think those people are just stiffs.
Yeah, dark
to hell
is
with
funny.
Them.
Yeah, dark funny.
It's definitely funny.
Hysterical.
So, are you doing any stand up or what?
Yeah, I got some stand up shows at the Improv coming up.
I know, I had a concern. If you go see Melissa Paul, be brace yourself because she gets a little filthy, as my grandma says.
Yeah.
And
I've tried
like
to clean it up. Yeah, but...
You can't clean it up. Once you're filthy, you're dirty all over and there's no cleaning up. And
yeah,
everybody
well, the
knows
dirt
you're filthy.
Starts, yeah, the dirt starts from way, way inside. So that's like years
deep
of therapy for it to actually come
deep
out.
Deep dirt. Thank God it's surfacing in the funny.
Yeah, just 8 years of therapy, maybe.
I was in therapy a long time. And you eventually get to this point where... I literally got to the point where I was with my therapist and he knew I was doing an Air America program when I was doing the show in New York. So you'd be like, so what do you think of this Bush thing? So I'd end up sitting there. I wouldn't even... I would would get nothing out of it, and he'd get an entire show about my opinion. And he'd validate me, though. That was the greatest thing, because when you're on radio, you don't know if people are listening or they're agreeing with you necessarily.
Yeah.
But my therapist, my psychologist, would be like, that's a good point. I never thought of it like that. It's like, Dad, you know, we should come in the studio with me. Why don't you just come in the studio with me?
No, I work out material with my therapist, because that's the hardest guy to get to laugh ever. And if he laughs, then I know it's gold.
Yeah, and you're paying for it.
And I'm paying for it. You're listening, and you should be laughing, yeah.
All right, Melissa Paul, I'm glad you stayed. Why don't you hang out for 1 second? You know what? You know, you better go.
Yeah, the website is myspace.com/playhouseworst.
Really, myspace.com?
We can't afford a real website. Come on.
I got to do that. If people tell me to do it, my wife was trying to show me how it works. And
it's
still,
a clever site.
The best I can figure it out is just it means you get email from people you don't know, and then you decide whether you like them or not, judging by their picture.
Yeah, you can decline them as friends. What's better than that?
Declining people as friends.
Decline.
No. All right, Melissa, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Come by again.
Okay.